One thing you can say about expenditures by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, they always go up. Well, to help control costs, CMS has been experimenting with a program to pay qualifying healthcare providers based on outcomes rather than on transactions. A year ahead of schedule, now 30% of Medicare and Medicaid expenditures are through these so-called accountable care organizations. We get more from the innovation director at CMS, Rahul Rajkumar.
In January of 2015, the secretary announced goals to help drive Medicare and its healthcare system towards changes in payment. So specifically, she announced that by the end of 2016, we would move 30% of Medicare payments into new alternative payment models and 50% by the end of 2018. And alternative payment models are new ways of paying for care that give healthcare providers incentives to make healthcare more efficient, reduce its cost, and improve the quality of care delivered.
And you were able to reach this goal of 30% much earlier than anticipated.
That's right. So on March the 3rd, the president announced that we had hit our goal of 30% of Medicare payments in alternative payment models. So about 11 months ahead of schedule.
So how do the alternative payment models actually work? What's involved here?
Yeah, so broadly, there are three types of alternative payment models in our portfolio. So there are models called accountable care organizations, or ACOs, bundled payments, and then another one is advanced primary care medical homes. And just to take one of them, the majority of these payments, majority of the 30% are ACOs. An ACO is a deal between Medicare and a group of providers who come together voluntarily, and they say we are going to be accountable, hence the name, for this group of Medicare beneficiaries. And we look at these beneficiaries and we look in their past at their claims to see how much money they cost, what their expenditures were. And then we use some mathematical formula to project out into the future a benchmark. And the contract is between Medicare and this group of providers, if you beat that benchmark over a performance period, we share in the savings. And if you're in a two-sided risk model, and you exceed that benchmark, then we share in the losses, and we adjust those payments based on your quality performance.
So the idea is to make the payments based on the medical outcome as opposed to simply how many times they offer service.
Yes, both the quality of care and also the expenditure.
And how is that measured, quality of care? I mean, you have to have some sort of an objective look at it, correct?
So we look at, in our ACO programs, we look at 33 different measures of quality, and some of these are process measures. So, for example, things that are clearly established in the medical guidelines, like percentage of heart failure patients who are on a beta blocker. We also look at things like mortality after hospitalization and the percentage of patients who are readmitted to a hospital after they are discharged.
Okay, and these ACOs, are they mostly large hospitals, or can, say, an average local medical practice with 5, 10, 15, 20 doctors, can they also be ACOs?
Many different types of provider organizations can form ACOs. And in fact, many of our most successful ACOs are physician-led and have no affiliated hospital. The only requirement is that you have a certain minimum level of beneficiaries, and that's just so that the math works out and is stable. But we actually have a number of smaller physician practices that are ACOs. Many of our most successful ones are.
And so this is also a shared savings program. They get some benefit if they are able to be a certain level below what the estimated cost would have been?
That's exactly right. If a physician practice can reduce a patient's total cost of care, so if they can reduce things like hospitalization and keep patients out of the emergency room by providing more intensive primary care, then they can share in a percentage of those total savings.
There's a lot of variables, it sounds like, that need to be balanced here because, I mean, you could always reduce care by not giving any care and the person dies and it's really cheap, but that's not obviously what you mean. How did you come up with the variables? And how did you get buy-in from the ACOs that these were variables that could, in fact, be managed under health care?
Well, that's why it is so important to measure quality at the same time that you're measuring cost. And So we develop our quality measurement systems by both through notice and comment rulemaking, but also engaging experts in the medical field. One of the things that we've observed in our program, so take, for example, the Pioneer ACO model, which is an ACO model developed for leading-edge healthcare providers that have some experience in managing population health. We found that over 3 years, their quality scores actually increased as they were reducing total expenditure.
We're speaking with Dr. Rahul Rajkumar, Deputy Director for the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Innovation at CMS. And does this improve care for the population, or can individuals who are recipients of Medicare feel the difference also?
Well, one of the things that we measure in quality is the patient's experience of care. So, for example, how does their access to their doctor improve? Does their healthcare provider take the time to speak with them about their condition and engage them in making joint decisions together? And we find significant improvements in patient experience of care in many of these models. Our finding is that beneficiaries are seeing the effects, the positive effects of these new alternative payment models.
And by having several providers involved in one of these ACOs for a given patient or a given group of patients, is there less fragmentation? Because often part of the problem with getting care is one doctor doesn't know what the other one has prescribed and so forth, and sometimes the people may not be able to really express that. And so you get this disintegration of a care for a given group or a given individual.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's a large part of the theory. When providers have the right incentives, and by the way, when we're helping them by working with them every day, Medicare is, and providing them with good data, we want providers to work together as part of a team of care. And that's one of the things that we see in accountable care organizations.
And I wanted to ask you about the measurement of the payments. It wasn't CMS that did the measurement. You had an independent group look at the payments to make sure that what you were claiming was verifiable?
So CMS did do the measurement, but we also had them checked and verified by the independent office of the CMS actuary.
And they affirmed what it is you were finding.
That is right.
You've got several hundred ACOs, accountable care organizations. Do you expect to have everybody eventually become an ACO?
Well, right now we have 477 Medicare ACOs. There are ACOs emerging in the commercial market as well. Nearly 9 million Medicare beneficiaries are in ACOs. And right now we're looking ahead to the next goal, which is 50% of Medicare payments in alternative payment models by the end of 2018. That's very much our focus right now.
And is the hope that as the percentage of dollars goes through the ACOs, the total volume of dollars will, at least if not go down, stop rising as fast as it has been?
That's exactly right. I mean, these models show great promise in reducing total healthcare costs, but also, more importantly, in making healthcare better and safer for our beneficiaries.
And does this model also help you reduce the instances of fraud that bedevil the CMS?
Reducing fraud is a huge priority for the agency, and one of the ways in which ACOs can help do that is that these are heavily monitored environments where we are evaluating performance and continuously looking at claims data and running multiple analyses on these providers. And so I would think of it this way. There are many eyes on these provider organizations and on the performance of these models. And so we are able to look at a lot of things, like healthcare quality.
Rahul Rajkumar is Deputy Director for Innovation at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.